Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. Another week, another podcast. It's Ladies of Liverpool. I'm Leanne Campbell. And this week, it's a bit of a, like, I've got to say, it's like a little bit of a self-indulgence podcast. I'm hoping you're going to love it as well. Are we all into ghosts? I am. I haven't had anyone on this podcast talking about ghosts since the late, great Derek Acora. Now, this lady we're going to speak to next doesn't claim to be able to, like, speak to loved ones who've crossed over, and she's not hounded by ghosts everywhere she goes. But when she goes to bed at night, she's definitely woken up by one. This is going to be brilliant. Let me introduce you to Natalie Reeves Billing.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Hello there, Natalie, live from your haunted house.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, thank you so much. So just describe the room that you're in right now.
Right. Well, I'm in a room that used to be a courthouse. So I've got two big stained glass windows, and it looks out onto an orchard which used to be a medieval priory. It's all grey and crystal, so it's quite a unique room, this.
Wow, it sounds incredible, and I can't wait to talk about all the things that go on under your roof. Before that, though, just to introduce you to all the listeners right now, you're not just the owner of a haunted house, you're actually an author, and you're a winner of the Mum's Choice Awards, which is fantastic. Just tell us briefly about the books that you write.
Okay, so just coming up to lockdown, I'd always wanted to do a range of children's books. I'd played with the idea for years and years, but it became more relevant when everyone was living under the same roof for 24/7 every single day. I wrote a range of books called The Monstrous Me Collection, which explore life, everyday life through a child's eyes. And then, so it's like gripes, why they're annoyed with their mum, my mummy is a monster, my daddy is a monster. But when they get to the middle of the books, they can actually shut it and flip it over and see what mum or dad have to say about the same scenarios. And it's just hilarious.
That's really clever. That is very clever. So what are books called again, and where do we get them?
Okay, so it's The Monstrous Me Collection, and there's My Mummy is a Monster, My Daddy is a Monster, My Granny is a Monster, My Brother is a Monster. So yeah, something for all the family, and you can get it from Amazon or from my website on nataliereevesbilling.com.
So we talk about through the eyes of children. I read an article about this lady called Natalie who owns a haunted house not far from me, and her son started seeing some crazy things during the night. That's where my interest sort of peaked. I was like, hang on. I need to speak to this girl directly. So through the eyes of your child, was it your son who actually started experiencing things first?
He was the one that started experiencing the negative stuff first. I mean, we very much all felt the weirdness and the quirkiness of things, like the talking when no one else was talking, and the doors slamming and the shapes moving about and going off. I mean, everyone who visits goes, oh wow, did you just go past the toilet while I was in there? Like, no, you've just just met one of the visitors. So yeah, we'd already had names for them, like Alice, and then there's Edith and John. So we had names for them already. But when my son got to about four, he started to, I guess, have a different experience altogether. They seemed to become a bit negative, and the stuff that went to his room or focused on his room tended to just creep everybody out, give him sleepwalking episodes. It was just horrible. And it culminated in that article that you read, which you know, I'm happy to share.
So can you remember the first night, or was it a real sort of slow burner, or was there one night in particular that you went, right, what's going on? Like a real standout moment between you and your son?
It was becoming a bit intolerable because, you know, he'd been sleepwalking for about a month. But then at this point, we put a baby gate back on his door just so that he didn't get out and hurt himself in the night. So what had happened was I heard this massive scream this night, and I woke up all anxious, as you do, and I run out onto like our sort of, we've got like a mezzanine hall, which all of the different rooms come into this sort of hallway, if you like. So he was there. he was in a sort of star shape. So his hands were like stretched out and his legs were stretched and he was looking down the stairs. He was very much in the grips of some sort of sleepwalking experience. And I'm saying, Nathaniel, are you okay, love? Are you okay? And he wouldn't snap out of it. So my mum was staying that night and she ran up the stairs towards him. So she was looking at his face. And when he saw her, his voice changed. He just said, I don't want you. So, and honestly, I went, do you know, like when you just want to throw up straight away? I just couldn't believe it. There was just a horrible atmosphere. It was freezing. And so I grabbed him and I said to him, give us that milk and I'll sort him out. I'll settle him. And I went to take him into my room and he pointed to his room. He wanted to go back into his room. And when I looked at his room, the baby gate was still on. The door was still shut. So I'm thinking, how on earth did he get out of his room without alerting me? Shut the door behind him, climb over the baby gate. So I'm thinking, oh my God, how has he appeared here on the top of the stairs? So I took him to his room, the light wouldn't go on. As soon as I went in that room, I thought, oh no, what's going on in here? It was dark, dark, dark. It was freezing. It had a horrible smell. The shadows were moving. Well, I sat him on his sofa and I'm just thinking, when's my mum going to come back up? Because she'd said she'll do us a cup of tea. So I'm waiting for her, thinking, hurry up. And he stopped drinking his milk, looked over my shoulder towards his bed and went, Mummy, I don't like the way he's looking at me. Oh, God. I actually thought about just running out and just leaving him there as a mother. And I just...
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
What did he describe to you that he could see in his bedroom?
I thought at that stage, this is still in the grips of the nightmare. But then as I was working out what I was going to do, because I was totally glitched, I heard an outpour of sort of like air, like this. Come from that corner. So I grabbed him. I like frog marched out at super speed like you've never seen with in my arms. And when he got out there and he sort of snapped out a little bit and me and my mum were there and he described it as a bear. So he said that he always sees a naughty bear and it always follows him around. It always comes each night. And so I was thinking, what a random thing. You know, you think about hauntings, you think of haunted, sinister kids with ponytails in, don't you? But you don't think about a bear. And it was only when a couple of years later I got into archaeology because me and the kids were digging in the garden for worms for my husband to fish with. And we found a dagger. A Viking dagger in the ground. And the archaeologists came out and they discovered a battlefield. Well, they've been looking for this battlefield for years, called the Battle of Brunanburh. Apparently it was this lost battlefield and there's been all sorts of, battles about where it's been and whether it was up north or whether it was here. But, you know, Bernard Cornwell has even written about this battle, which they'd never found. And they were really pretty sure it was on the Wirral. And they were just looking for this Roman road. And it turns out that they'd always wanted to get onto our site because they expected it was going to be here. So well, they got 400 artefacts from our land and they're just analysing it now. So I'm just really excited for the year ahead and the years to come.
This is just brilliant. So I'm trying to put it into some kind of order. So you'd lived there a couple of years before it started getting negative. Before that, you'd embraced some of the unusual things happening in the house. Yeah. When you start digging into what's gone on, we know, okay, so there was this big kickoff on the land and you found the evidence to prove this, and this is really exciting. But what else did you find had happened on the grounds of your house?
It's actually unbelievable. You couldn't write this stuff. I couldn't write this stuff. But, okay, so the house in its current state as we bought it was a courthouse for a local landowner's court called the Whippentack or the Whippentake. I've never figured out how to pronounce that. So it was this court of the hundreds where they listened to appeals from local landowners, usually petty grievances. But the myth is that this guy used to get stinking drunk, hold audience for his friends, and he was the judge. So he used to sentence people to all sorts of like sinister punishments. And the myth is that they hung them on the tree next door. So the local historian told us that they thought that our tree, which is in our garden, which we always thought was weird because nothing grows around it at all. No creatures go near it. No birds go near it. It's just a really weird place. So the thought process is that people used to get hung on that tree. So that's one of the things we found out used to happen here, that, you know, people would so unfairly, lose all their wealth and their homes and everything. And then we also found out that it was the site of a medieval priory as well. So this would have been, you know, a religious place, which is really strange because at Christmas time, we have all sorts of weirdness going on in terms of like blooming carol concerts that we, you know, in weird dulcet tones, you know, you go out in the morning.
Outside your house or inside the walls?
It's that one's in the orchard. So what had happened there as well, before we found out about this, I'd seen all of these shapes coming from behind the trees, and I ran in, and me and my friends watched it on the security camera. We watched these shapes coming from the blooming orchard. So I got a spiritualist out to have a look, and we didn't tell him anything, not a thing, so that he was just going in. And there's nothing you can really see about the house online unless you really, really look. And he come up with all sorts. He come up with the location of the priory and this little outhouse, this little sort of chapel. And as it turns out, when the archaeologists came and they'd been looking at this land for a long time, they said, oh yeah, this used to be the priory. And I thought, wow, this is just amazing.
Ladies of Liverpool, your son, when he claims he was seeing the bear, you heard what sounded like a bear. The room goes freezing cold. There's a smell. Do you connect that with any of the stories that you're being told? Like, could it be a monk? Could it be, you know, someone in the battle gear, you know, with the furs on top? Or what's your thought behind that?
The little girl's giggling. I know that the owners, the first owners, the judge's family, they had girls. So I always
I missed the bit about the girls giggling. When have you heard little girls giggling in your house?
Oh gosh, that's all the time. I mean, like, if you spent a few days here with me, Leanne, you'd hear them as well. You know, it's just, it becomes
can
common.
I? Natalie, can I?
Of course. You know, we just have like a really weird time here. I mean, after 8 o'clock, the place just gets really weird. And even in the daytime, I mean, the atmosphere, it's like you walk into a room and it's like someone's just stopped in the middle of a conversation and you've intruded. You can smell all sorts of weird smells, foods and stuff. You hear noises, you know, as if someone's just left. It's just mad, you know. And you know when somebody walks past you, when like really close, and you feel that wind just go past? You feel that so much, like when you're at the Argy making a drink and you just feel the wind breeze past you and you turn round. But it's not necessarily a bad feeling, because now that we've got over the negative parts, and I really do feel like through a lot of work that we had to put in to get rid of it, it's just left us with this beautiful energy. And we just couldn't be happier here. I mean, we had 3 really bad episodes, and a member of staff left over it. Since then, it's been all happy days, to be honest.
Okay, so I need to know about these really bad episodes then.
Oh, there's certain parts of the house that I still feel quite, you know, anxious being there on my own. But what happened was, my son again, it always seems to be him. he turned up in the middle of the night. He couldn't sleep. So he woke me up, and I looked at him, and I'd left my blinds open. So the moon was shining on him, and it was casting him in this really weird blue light. And I was trying to focus on him. I couldn't work his features out. He just looked like a blur, and I was really trying to focus, and I was anxious anyway, as you do when you get woken up and this kid's just stood there like a zombie next to your bed. So I got out and I thought, well, I'm not going to wake up my husband because he's grumpy as hell. So I got him up. I carried him, but he was dead lumpy and heavy. So I carried him and over the other side of the house, and I'm having to turn off the peripheral sensors inside the house, you know, so the motion detector, so when I don't set the alarms off. So I did that. I'm opening all the doors and shutting them behind myself, and we get to the other side of the house, and I'm knackered, lay him down in the bed, and then I started to feel like I was having an allergic reaction to the air. I started to choke. I felt pressure on my chest. I didn't want to wake him, but honestly, I was paralysed, and I just couldn't make a noise. So I went off eventually into this like sort of really disturbed sleep, and woke up with a start about an hour later, and he's gone out my bed. So I thought, what on earth? Because, you know, kids, that's all they want. They live to be in your bed, don't they? So I thought,
what's made him go out?
What made him go out? And I haven't heard it, and I sleep with one eye open. Honestly, I'm like a bulldog with one eye open. So he'd managed to somehow get out this room. So the door was closed and I'd put the alarm back on. He hasn't set off any alarms. So I'm then really, really worried. Went over to his room. All the doors are shut. You know, the alarm's on. I'm to turn it on. And so he's just in his bed with his teddy and all the doors are shut. He has not been out of his bed. I knew then he hadn't. I knew that whatever I'd woken up and took into my bed wasn't him.
Ladies of Liverpool, do you have any people around you who will sit and tell you it's nonsense, you're making it up, it's all in your head? Do you have anyone who's ever come back with that kind of reaction?
Usually if they haven't been here. But if someone spends significant amount of time here, and especially if you know my husband, because my husband is such a sort of black and white thinker. He is the most normal bloke. And, you know, at the beginning, he used to try and put things down to all these sorts of normal things like pipes and breezes and all these sorts of things. But, you know, once all these things started happening, oh, he was nowhere to be seen. And he was more than happy for me to be calling out spiritualists then. He wasn't calling me lunatic or anything then.
No.
You know, he never openly talked about it, but it was something he definitely felt, because he'd come out and he'd go, have you just been on that side of the house? I'm like, no. And he'd just say nothing. And I could see all over his face, he would not go in that room that Nathaniel, that you know, used to stay in. He wouldn't go in there afterwards. So, you know, actions speak louder than words, don't they?
Definitely. So these little girls that you hear, and you've traced them back to the original owners of the house. Who else has got almost, you know, a character, or you've looked into them and you know who they are and whose family they belong to?
The judge was called John. I can't remember his surname off the top of my head. I've got to that age where things just don't get retained in my brain. But he was the first owner, and he'd embezzled a big load of money from a shipping company in Liverpool and built this money off the back of this house off the back of it. So he was a bit of a dodgy character. He ended up getting turfed out onto the street, and the Leverhulmes took it over. And they used to have their managers living here on the land. And so we get a mix of male energies, and I'm guessing that's the previous heads of the houses. But the courthouse in particular, you get a lot of traffic there. The medium has described it as being transient energy. So I get a feeling of like movement through the house. Like you could, it's almost like a train station. It feels like things pattern in and out of it. And so you get lots of different energies and different vibes. But the main ones that stick about are Edith and Emily, who are the little girls. Then we've got Alice, who sings, and thankfully it's quite tuneful. But she used to sing. She used to sing my daughter on the monitors. I mean, we used to have little clips of that where my daughter would just stop in the middle of singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and just have a conversation with no one. She'd just go, Twinkle Twinkle, hello. You know, oh my God. So you can imagine if you're downstairs having a glass of wine, you're settling down, and my mates are there. Let's put on the monitor, and they go, oh no, you're going up. No, you're going up. You're going up. You know, it's one of them. But in the end, what had to happen was the change in us. We just had to be more lighthearted, more accepting of this unusual thing, because I wasn't giving up my house. I love my house. The grounds. So I wasn't giving it up. I wasn't going anywhere. So we just had to change our mind on, you know, our perspective, I guess, on what it is. And, you know, as long as it isn't bothering us and we got rid of Bear, you know, we're all okay with it now. And, but they're still very much there, more playful and mischievous now.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So the negative side of things, would you say it, because, you know, I don't know whether someone's Googled this episode, they've found it because they've, you know, felt something in their own house, they don't know what to do about it. What was the fix? What was the treatment?
Well, we tried three different things. I had a spiritualist coming out first who did smudging, which is like sage burning and plants, different plants, burning them into each of the rooms and moving energies about. So they'll just basically go into the corners and move stale, stagnant energy around. And I've got to say, it did feel a lot better, but I think it's more of a mental thing. You know, if you're ticking the boxes in your mind, you feel differently in your interactions with that room. Then the second time around, we had a spiritualist who came and actually communed with them, and that was uncanny because he picked up loads.
So you watched him have conversations with these ghosts?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember when Derek used to do it with Sam? Get him off me, Sam. You remember
Well, I brought Derek into the Radio City Tower, and he'd done that. He was having conversations with a small boy and then with an older fella, an old waiter who used to work in it when it was a restaurant. And I watched that happen, and it is surreal to watch. And again, I think just something in your mind goes, this is crazy, you know, and you talk yourself out of it, and you try and find the fun in it, like, you know, you're giggling and you're laughing and whatever. But if it was in my house, I would feel totally different about it. I'd struggle with it if it was in my house. So I remember saying to Derek, these ghosts aren't going to come home with me, are they? As I'm not going to wake up in the night and they're going to be there. There must have been some terrifying moments. And to have a spiritualist sit in your house and talk to male and female ghosts, what were they saying?
There was one, a religious person, he couldn't get his name, and this guy had said, you know, that he lives with, he keeps animals on the land, and, you know, apart from that, you know, his whole life was about waking up and, you know, communing with God and stuff like that. But his main thing was, you know, because they're sort of transient energies he picked up with, he'd be talking to one and then another energy would move in, and he'd go, oh, I'm picking up a girl now. And it was quite hard to pin down who it was, but when he spoke to John, the judge, he got so many things that I was then able to pick up with the local history society that I'm a member of. And we're all in old pictures, because there are a few, you know, amateur, what would you call them, historians, if you like, local historians. Yeah. And he picked up on so many cases where one was about a well. That people had stored all of their goods that they were thinking was going to get taken off them in the court hearing. So they'd hide all their stuff in a well first that they could pick up later. But some of them never made it back. And we found that well under the ground. And I'd only just watched The Ring as well, so you can imagine.
Oh! This is amazing. So you find the well. What did you find inside the well?
It was so deep, it was dry, so it wasn't usable anymore. But it had inscriptions on the capstone, like old, hundreds of years old graffiti, I guess, little names and stuff into it. But the worst thing about it was, even when we got down, we couldn't get right to the bottom because it was so narrow. It's such a narrow well. But as far as we got, we could see a little distance down. So we started trying to dig and stuff, but we didn't find any of the valuables. So we've made it on our bucket list to go back and do that, because we did it when we were repairing the floor. So we had contractors on who needed to get the blooming floor in place beforehand. And I'm like, can't you just wait for like 2 weeks while we explore this well?
I love when you're telling the story, I love how normality slips through this incredible journey that you've been on. It's like, you know, there's a bird in the bedroom, but then I have to turn the sensors off and lock the door. And it's like, yeah, but you're locking the door, but there's actual ghosts inside your house. It's crazy.
Ladies of Liverpool.
We've been invited with the radio show to different places, like the likes of Speak Hall and places like that. And you go and you desperately want something to happen. I would love to believe there's something else. I don't know about, you know, lingering around my house and haunting it for the rest of my days, but I do like to believe there's more to what we just know of being born and passing away. I'd like to believe there's something else. And when I hear stories like this, it does make me feel a little bit hopeful, like we do go somewhere else and sometimes people get caught in between. Is that what you think's happened, or has anyone ever shed any light on why they're still lingering around your house?
Lots of people have had different thoughts about this. And, you know, obviously some people are thinking that, you know, the spirits have never left. Some people are thinking it's like a sort of glimpse into the past or some sort of echo of the past. Mm. I kind of felt that a few of them have been almost as if I'm seeing through to another place where they're still there. It's almost like, you know, you could be intruding on their day. Their day on the other side, you know, because we always think that we're the ones that are getting haunted, but they could just be having their breakfast or what, and then we're coming in disturbing them.
Have you seen the film The Others with Nicole Kidman in? That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah.
The Others.
similar in that way. I kind of feel like just because it's our story that we're telling, you can't see it through their eyes, can you? I mean,
exactly, yeah. You know, when you mentioned the member of staff that couldn't stick around, we didn't really find out what happened there. Are you comfortable telling us what happened?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, we had a night nanny, and she was on a sort of, I guess, a trial, just figuring out whether, you know, the pattern worked for us and worked for her. And so she came up the stairs on that day that I told you about where my son was screaming and we first met Bear in his room.
Yeah.
And on that day, she was preparing milk, and also she was doing some stuff downstairs. And so she was really helping with everything, arranging things and getting the house ready for the night. When all the electrics started going mad, which we didn't even get to, but, you know, in the meantime, while this is going on downstairs, there was an electric show going on. There was machines beeping, the alarms going off and the TVs going off and, you know, weird noises and all sorts of disturbances going on downstairs. And obviously she'd heard what was going on upstairs. She couldn't bring herself to go and, see the kids. She couldn't go on her own.
She just left.
Yeah, she said, you know what? I love this. I love this place. I love you guys. I love everything about it. I cannot. I just can't. I, if you guys went out and had, you know, for a meal or something, I couldn't be in the house on my own.
Oh, with the telly going on and off and all, I've got to be honest. I talk to talk, but I think my bottle would go. I think you must obviously love that house, and the house seems to love you, because nothing really that negative has happened since, as you say, you've got rid of the bad energy. So it seems like you're all living and working together, aren't you, at the minute?
But I feel like they're on our side. I don't know. It's become joyous. Like, everyone who comes into our house, I go, oh, hasn't this place got a lovely energy? And I think that, if anything, that whole experience brought us closer together as a family, because we had to work out a different way of dealing with problems. I was really convinced that any sort of negative energies and dwelling on negative things and having negative, you know, outlooks on things and people and gossiping about people, I felt like all those sort of dynamics would make that energy worse. And so I got that in my head. And so we all made changes and just started to look on the bright side of things. So if anything, I feel like it was meant to happen to us, because we just feel better as a family now, and the energy in the house is lovely.
And where is this house? In what area?
It's by Thornton Hough. Okay. So it's on the Wirral. We're just by Thornton Hough. It's an area that Lever Humes used to have quite a lot of properties in. We're not too far from Thornton Manor.
Okie doke. So people can have a little visual now. Picture where this house is. It sounds amazing. And I'm definitely going to take you up on your offer and just even come and spend one night and see what happens. I would love to do that, Natalie.
You're more than welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to us. This has been an episode I'll never forget. Thanks again.
Thank you, Leanne. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.